course, some G-Money, and I'm going to waste no time this week, and I'm going to just run down the line really quick. Artist extraordinaire Todd Bernardi, cinematic scholar Aaron is in the house. The gaming guru himself is here, Format. And last but certainly not least, the chairman of the comic book board, the godfather of comic books. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Between the Sheiks with Daddy Leaks. He's in the house tonight as well. Woo! Yes! Daddy Leaks.
Can we always Daddy do the Leaks. Intros that quick?
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Absolutely.
That was good. Awesome.
Kai's also here, by the way.
Oh, yep. Kai. Kai's here.
He's wearing a movie prop from the hit film Newsies.
Newsies. Get your papers. Get your papers.
Can you say? Can you sing Santa Fe?
Papers
for
us? Here. Yeah.
Oh, you
in
can
your
see
best,
my belly.
In your best New York accent, say we want a union. Say it.
You know, the Newsies, the Newsies were the worst part of California Adventure.
Oh, were they? Oh, bummer,
they just
man.
Ride around in a trolley car all day singing songs from the movie.
Forgive us for starting so late tonight. Definitely my fault, so please forgive us. But if you guys are listening to the podcast, just know you can download it on iTunes, on Audio Boom, and on Stitcher. Also,
tell us where they can get it, G.
Audio Boom, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Okay.
And you can also get the podcast.
Or you can just Google Nerdwatch Podcast like a normal person.
There you go. You can also watch us here on Facebook Live, like our Facebook Live feed, our Facebook page.
Or the Maui Watch app.
/ the Nerdwatch. And yes, of course, I want to bring up the Maui Watch app where you can download.
God, we're just
you download
the
Maui Watch app, and guess what, ladies and gentlemen? All under Maui Watch Radio Network, yeah. You can hear all the Nerdwatch podcasts.
Well, I'm going to mess your stuff up right now because we're also on the radio on 88.5 FM.
Yes,
KAKU. You, the voice of Maui.
88.5.
And I'm going to take a minute right now because we just lost a big radio personality, especially to KAKU, and he was essentially their sugar daddy, but Larry John passed yesterday.
No!
Oh, man, no.
Larry John, none of you guys had heard that.
No.
No.
What?
Oh, my God, yeah.
What happened?
You know, I'm not sure how he passed, but he was having some health problems for a while.
Well, I know he was retired and everything, and he loved.
He was living the good life. I mean, at least you know he got to spend time with his family and friends and everything. From what I saw, he was having a good time up until
that's
the end.
That's our show, folks.
Wow.
I didn't mean to bum you guys out, but Larry John, he was a very special friend to the Nerd Watch.
I love Larry John. He's a great guy.
You know, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have done the Big Trouble in Little China.
No,
screening.
You're absolutely
he was,
right. He was
he totally supported that. Yeah,
he did.
And, you know, he actually gave me the confidence to come on the Nerd Watch with you guys because before I came on the Nerd Watch, I was like, I can't hold a microphone and talk crap. And then I realized that it takes no talent or skill at all. But Larry John made it look easy. Like, he was just so fun to hang out with on his show, The Tub.
And so and when I saw Alika do it, I was like, oh, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. I'm responsible for
I was like, I'm going to stop.
If I die, don't tell anybody that.
Well, I do want to send out condolences to Larry John's family.
Yeah,
and
man.
Larry John, you shall be missed, sir. You were lovely to the Nerd Watch, and we certainly do appreciate it when you didn't have to be. So we certainly
he was great, man.
He was great. So
he supported all local broadcasting and media.
He did. He did a children's show. He did
well. Michael McCartney was kind enough to share a little bio about him, and he goes back. Like he was a child actor. You know, in I don't want to say he's. Is it like the fifth? I think it was the 40s and 50s when he was a young boy, and then you know he had his own syndicated TV show,
right?
Hotel Balderdash in 1972, and it ran several years, maybe a decade or so,
something like that. Yeah,
it was very popular in the Arizona Southwest area.
Yeah,
and they did a continuation of it here on Maui. So it was pretty funny.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you shall be missed, sir. We certainly, and we will do the show. We'll do the Black Panther review in honor of you.
Well, okay.
Well, just for in memoriam, you know.
We love you, Larry John. Yeah.
Yeah, we certainly do. Well, let's get right to the comic book list here at 115 South Waikea Avenue. It is Maui Comics and Collectibles. Every single Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday, and you know what that means? New comic books. You can check it out here, 115 South Waikea Avenue. Find out what's new in the world of comics, courtesy of the one and only Daddy Leaks and Format. And ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Let's find out what's new this week in the world of the comic books. All right.
Amazing Spider-Man number 796.
Nice.
Aquaman 33. Astonishing X-Men number 8. Batman number 41. Batman and the Signal, number 2 of 3. Yeah. People keep arguing that there's no Black Robins. But guess what? I think Thomas Duke is a Robin.
Ah, interesting.
He's a Batman.
He wears brightly colored clothes. Batman sends him in before him to take all the shots and be a target. That's a Robin, if I've ever heard one.
10-4.
The Signal is totally a Robin.
I agree.
That's my official stance.
It taught him how to duck a crowbar.
Batman.
Well, he didn't have that happen again.
Yeah, it's like, that would be embarrassing.
That would be embarrassing.
That's like Robin to Robin advice.
Gosh, man.
Batman, Sins of the Father, number 1 of 6. Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, part 2, number 4 of 6.
A lot of Batman titles.
Yes. And those are the only ones I decided to read. There's actually more. Black Panther Annual, number 1.
Woo!
Brave and the Bold, Batman and Wonder Woman, number 1 of 6. Cave Carson, Swamp Thing Special. That sounds interesting. Daredevil, number 599.
Nice.
Deadpool vs. Old Man Logan, number 505. Finally wrapping that one up.
There you go.
Deathbed, number 1 of 6. It's on DC. You know anything about that, Todd?
No.
Okay, screw you too.
DC? DC Comics?
I should have looked it up. I'm sorry.
Descender, number 27.
That one's mine.
You know anything about that one?
That one's wonderful. I love that one. That
Doctor
good.
Strange, Damnation, number 1 of 4. They have a lot of Doctor Strange miniseries
look
coming
behind
out
you.
Here. Oh. And speaking of Doctor Strange artist, the famed Jeff Isherwood is here on Maui right now.
Fantastic.
With his beautiful wife Amanda, but I don't know if he's. I think you know he's down to do a podcast. He just hasn't seen Black Panther yet, and I hope he's not watching right now because we're going to spoil the crap out of it.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Is
that, by the way, in that picture of Damnation, looks like there's Blade and Ghost Rider and Iron Fist. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's Iron Fist right there. Moon Knight in a suit.
Moon Knight in a suit and tie.
He's looking a little dapper for Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
He's classing up the joint.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Hit Girl, number 1.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's interesting. Kick-Ass, number 1, just came out like 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
Or a week ago. Infinity Countdown Prime, number 1. Some more Warlock action, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Krusty the Clown, one-shot.
Krusty!
Yeah.
Bill Morrison have anything to do with that one, Todd? Do you know?
I don't think so, because he's at Mad Magazine now.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, they're just relaunching Mad Magazine like this week or next week or
fantastic
something.
Oh, man.
So he's the new editor-in-chief of
that's
Mad
cool
Magazine.
Is it going to go back to being funny?
Yeah.
Good.
You know what I loved about Mad Magazine when I was a kid, which totally I hated in the 2000s and onward to this day?
What?
It didn't used to have advertisements in it. And any advertisement that was in it was a joke.
It was a joke advertisement. Yeah,
and
you're
now
right
they have serious advertisements in Mad Magazine.
I agree.
I want to throw up on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 24. It's unrelated, by the way.
That's oddly specific. That's
Monstrous number 14. Pumpkinhead, number 1 of 5. Punisher, Platoon, number 6 of 6. That run's finally winding down. Star Wars, Dr. Aphra, number 17.
By the way, since we're not going to have time to talk about it really quick, there has been an announcement for the first for the official release of Star Wars The Last Jedi on Blu-ray, 4K, and...
Straight to garbage.
No, just... Nice. Nice. So it's going to be coming out March 23rd. Third, I believe.
They're gonna. It's gonna be next to all the Star Wars toys that aren't selling.
I was just on another podcast.
Oh, were you now?
Called the Cavalcade of Whimsy.
Oh my god!
Are you gonna try to stop me from advertising this with Leonard Jacinto and Greg Spencer, regulars?
Well,
of the
they
store
sound like they're terrible,
and they're great guys. And we talked about Star Wars.
Oh, did you now?
It's very late in the year to be doing so. But,
no kidding. They really have to catch up, don't they? They're the Cavalcade of Whimsy.
A Cavalcade of Whimsy. We're going to talk about Star Wars from 1977.
That's right. That's awesome.
Have you guys seen this new movie with Luke Skywalker?
He's a real hero, man. Mm-hmm. Don't watch The Last
Boy,
Jedi.
This Mark Hamill guy has got some future.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see what
he
does
I hope
does
he busts
next
out in episode 8.
Yeah, man. Jeez.
Don't hold your breath. Superman 41. Tales of Suspense, number 102 of 5. Good numbering system, guys.
Suspense.
Tremendous Trump Retro Mastered Edition one shot.
There's a Trump comic?
That's right.
Shut up.
The man who is the king of all media, I'm sure that title doesn't belong to anybody else, deserves a comic.
That's awesome. I want 2 copies.
Well, yeah, of course you do. It's printed on toilet paper.
That would save a lot of paper cuts. Yeah.
For President's Day.
Man, it would have been.
Yeah, right.
Jeez. It would have been good for President's Day had we been celebrating. It would have been good for President's Day.
We are. All 45.
I was going to say,
Todd.
It would have been good for President's
Day. No, you're right.
Every comic store, except for mine, I try to keep it classy, had a sign on their door that says, we're celebrating 44 out of 45 presidents.
Yeah,
every
I know.
Single
There's no need to celebrate Obama. You're absolutely right.
We're not leaving Obama.
No, he is 44 or 45. That's what that sign
means. Well, I'm just saying.
They're celebrating number 44.
Oh, I must have read, that wrong. All right.
That's weird. Okay, so let me explain how numbers work to you.
Venom, Venom number 162.
You skipped the bad one.
Wonder Woman, Conan number 6 of 6. That's the finale of that one, too.
Like Reagan.
And X-Men Gold number 22.
Oh, cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Finally.
Not even Reagan remembers his own predecessors.
First of all,
now he's dead.
That's true, but that's very not classy of you, sir.
Sorry.
It's true, but yes.
It's not. Well, it's not. I mean, actually, it's pretty funny. So
you're a terrible, horrible person.
What?
Anyway.
Because Reagan was a good president?
He was a great president.
Well,
one of the greatest. Skipper. Matter of fact, he's in the top two.
He was top two.
Washington and the Gipper.
Negative, sir.
Lincoln and the Gipper.
Lincoln's the third.
Are you? What?
Lincoln's
who
third.
Is your number one president?
Oh,
Bill
man.
O'Reilly.
Oh,
what
Trump,
the hell
baby.
Is going? Oh God, no. What is your problem, man?
It's just because like he's got a.
This
cool
guy's
going to
be an out of office in like 3 months.
No, it's,
all of the stuff about his presidency is going to be crazy collectible.
Oh man, hey, like,
that's
you know
why
it's
I
a good segue.
Two of those comics.
You know it's a good segue.
What's that?
To Black Panther. Let's talk about Trump.
I'm glad
it came out during Trump's presidency. He's probably just like stewing in his office, like thinking of a stupid tweet to make about it. He's the only guy who practices tweets on a chalkboard. He's like, this is, it's not stupid and angry enough.
He's got to diagram them.
Well,
there's
here's
a whole
the thing.
Process.
Let's transition into that. That was the comic book list you can find here at 115 South Waukee Avenue. Just ask for format, and he'll be more than happy to hook you up with some new comics every single Wednesday. Or just ask for Daddy Leaks. He sees you by appointment. Okay. Anyway.
Hookups in that you have to pay full price.
Okay, there it is. Now we're transitioning into the reason why we're here tonight. First of all, ladies and gentlemen.
At Car Troubles.
Hakuna Wakanda. We are here to talk about
Wakanda.
The biggest movie
to ever hit the continent.
It is the biggest movie financially.
It's the best movie of the MCU.
It's.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh.
All we know is we're talking about the Black Panther. We're going to be spoiling the bejesus out of it. So if you have not seen it and you don't want to know what's going on, turn off the Facebook live feed and the podcast now.
Everybody, hi, everyone.
Everybody's
Aloha.
Gone. Everybody's gone. We're going to try and keep it under 56 minutes, which we can do. There's a lot of things.
Each?
Each. There's a lot of things to cover. So where shall we start with Black Panther?
Oh. Hey, Ron.
Adam, stop commenting.
All right. So let's start with I don't know, where shall we start? Let's start with A-Ron.
Because
he is the more he
We're
is
going
a
alphabetically everyone.
He's a critical reviewer, so let's get right to it. A-Ron, what is your take on the Black Panther?
It's the best thing in the MCU, right? You said it.
I'm gonna get a lot of flack for this, but I don't care for any of the movies in the Marvel
Cinematic Universe
except Iron Man, Doctor Strange, and Guardians 1. I really enjoy those, but I haven't enjoyed one since I've seen Black Panther.
Wow.
I think it's amazing. It's great.
Now, with that being said, this is your last show on the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. No, what is it that makes this Black Panther
hooked.
So special?
Like I thought it was written really, really well. Mm-hmm. It's exceptionally well directed by Ryan Coogler, mm-hmm. who now I think is 3 for 3 pretty much.
Yeah.
For Fruitvale, Creed, and then now Black Panther.
Yeah.
He really transitioned to big budget very well.
Yeah, it seems like there has been no problem. And I don't know about you, but it felt like, you know how much I can't stand Thor Ragnarok? But that felt very much like a Taika Waititi movie.
Yeah.
This felt very much like a Ryan Coogler movie. Yeah. I was very much surprised. So, what are the positive things for you? And then we'll talk some negative.
First of all, he created some really good action sequences. Most notably, the one that is recalls for me complete James Bond, which was the casino in South Korea moving into the car chase.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I think that alone should just qualify him as a runner-up for James Bond directing.
I could see that. That'd be cool.
That was a total James Bond sequence.
So could you see James Bond's car falling to pieces and then the
driver's
seat
that.
scooting along the road completely unscathed, sitting upright?
No, because James Bond's driver's seat would have wheels. And he could
and it would turn into a car and keep driving.
Correct. Yeah. He could turn into a car and keep driving. So, yeah.
I think everybody in that movie was really... they acted very well. Mm-hmm. Michael B. Jordan was one of the best villains, I think.
First of all, you got to say that right. It's Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
There you go. All right. You got to work on it, best. But yeah, you got to work on it.
Was one of the better villains that I've seen. And he had a good reason for being, for doing what he did.
What? Okay.
And I don't want to spoil it, but
no, you have to. Yeah, so this is a full. This is a spoiler cast, baby.
But the girl that played
Letitia.
Shuri,
yeah,
sister.
Shuri, the sister, yeah.
Letitia.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't want to do this podcast really with Todd.
That's really her name. Letitia.
Oh yeah, Letitia Wright, right?
Yeah. Letitia Wright. Yeah.
Letitia Wright.
Okay. Oh, she completely stole that movie. I think she put it. She totally put like Tony
Shuri?
Stark to shit.
Yeah, she was pretty good.
Yeah, she was great. So you enjoyed it.
I was like hooked the whole time.
All right. Well, here's what we'll do. You chime in when you feel like it. But we're gonna go to Alika.
But there's one thing I didn't like.
Oh, what is that?
The
I
biggest
wanna know.
Thing for me was the visual effects. A lot of it was real.
Yeah. Choppy,
was,
right?
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I heard there was a lot of green screen stuff.
There's a lot of elasticity with some of the computer animated stuff. Yeah. And then they animated parts of the costume, so it's real reminiscent.
That was Todd's
like
major gripe, and I, to be honest, like, you notice it in the Green Lantern. I didn't really notice or care that much in Black Panther about the animation on the suit.
See, Black Panther had
the
that
the part of the CG that did bother me is the, you know, when you look out at the action shot, you know everything in that shot is kind of CG, including
the
people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you're just like a little bit taken
out. But then they had that one shot that was stolen from like the first X-Men, where Logan was like swinging around on the Statue of Liberty.
When did they, what scene
was
that?
In the first
that?
X-Men?
No, but in Black Panther,
when
was that?
Oh, when Black Panther was like, put his claws into one of the little tower things and he
spun around it.
And he was fighting Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm.
Michael B. Jordan.
On the train.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, on the train track. That looked really bad, like how the first X-Men
yeah,
was.
That
shot where, I don't know.
You can't,
really
when you talk to Alika, you can't, he doesn't remember
yeah,
anything about the X-Men
movie. What movie?
No
yeah.
See, there you go. I told you. That was
the biggest problem.
That was the biggest problem.
But other than that, it was great.
Alika.
Yo.
What about you, sir? You watched The Black Panther. What did you think of it?
I thought it was amazing. It was
really?
Incredible. Yeah. It really is the best of the Marvel Universe thus far. I really think so. And they didn't even have to... I mean, and the other reason is, you know, while other movies kind of lean on their connection to the Marvel Universe, it was like they yeah, it was very standalone-ish. I mean, I know they referenced Civil War at the beginning because the events of what happened and things like that, but, I mean, you don't necessarily need to have seen that movie to enjoy the Black Panther. And
standouts,
I mean,
for you, standouts and negatives.
Well, the performances by everybody were great. I think Marvel, and that's why this movie is so apart from I know it's connective to the Marvel Universe and everything, but the other reason why this stands out is because we didn't just get one great villain, we got three. And everybody had room, it was comfortable to move around, you know. Whereas you have three villains in a movie like Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Spider-Man 3, and it just there's no chill on trying to cram them in there.
Right.
This one, you get three complete arcs.
You're talking about the first, you're talking about Ape-Man?
M'Baku.
Which I found interesting is that they never...
Well, he's the last villain, spoilers, the last villain left alive, and not necessarily in a position to be a villain at the end. But it's not like Luke Cage where you lost Cottonmouth and you're left with Diamondback, who has like no depth. At least the whole richness of the story of Wakanda, it's like its own world where, you know, you have the tribal allegiances and that the one tribe, Jabari.
I believe they're clans.
The clan, the yeah. Jabari clan, went up into the mountains and left the rest of the four Wakandan tribes after the clan after the... Do you making me say Klan because of the Klan?
No, no. That's because that's what they referred to in the movie, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, I believe
yeah,
so.
Yeah, okay. They were clans. They weren't...
They're the five clans
I made
Wakanda.
That. I made that
trollish,
mistake, too.
Trollish man.
No, no. I made that mistake, too, because I thought they said tribes in the movie, but I don't remember them saying tribes. I believe they said clans.
But it adds that there's those divisions that still exist within Wakanda. Not necessarily divisions, although in the Jabari is definitely a case of division. But I think that makes it a more interesting world to be a part of. You're not just like, when you're in Wakanda, it's like, you know, black utopia and blah, blah, blah. It's not, it's an interesting and engaging place to be in. And you really don't care about the rest of the outside world, even though we go there a lot. But we're not weighed down by it, you know?
Right.
And I think Killmonger's arc was just incredible. Because, and the way it got to play out, and, you know, we knew who he was. We knew Michael B. Jordan was the main villain or whatever.
Who?
You just need a soundboard with Sylvester Stallone saying it, because I'm never going to be able to do it justice for you.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan.
You got to say it out of the corner of your mouth.
But he was incredible, like, in a role that I didn't think was, like, for him, you know what I mean? Like. Especially the message that arc kind of gets across in the movie of, and how, I mean, there's a lot of really, this is the worst podcast to like talk about. This is a really deep movie. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I see.
And the themes it touches on.
And I don't think there's a problem.
And you guys are jackasses. So no, I don't want to talk about it with you guys.
Okay. No. Okay. Well then you just, let me get it, move to Todd and then I will set everything up and then you guys can hit it out of the park. Okay. Todd, what did you think of the film?
Well, can I tell you my problem real quick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
My one problem is I know Nakia is a great character and everything, and, you know, Lupita Nyong'o did a great job, but I didn't really feel – I felt more chemistry between T'Challa and Okoye than I did with Nakia, who was like, supposedly they got to get married and all this.
First of all, Lupita Nyong'o in this movie is gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
Good Lord.
She's really good.
But I didn't, like – they kind of forced it. It was a little corny. And it's like Disney-ish, you know? It's a Disney movie after all. But like the way, did he freeze and all this stuff?
Right.
It was a little too corny for me.
So you weren't feeling that?
But he had more interactions with Okoye because she's always by his side at that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I thought they had great chemistry. But they won't let that happen, you know? So
I was waiting for her to pull out a katana.
Katana?
Yeah.
Because she's Michonne.
Oh, Michonne.
Anyway.
But see, Lupita was in a really underseen movie, Queen of Catway.
Queen of Catway, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Is it an action movie?
Excuse
is she
me.
An action
oh,
star?
Shit,
no. Queen of Catway.
It's like a drama chess.
No. If you like chess.
Well, she's a great actress. I mean, it's a great in the Walking movie. Dead episodes where they flash back on her past.
Lupita,
like,
Not Queen, wait. Don't.
No, I'm sorry. Not Denai Gurira.
Yeah, there you go. We're talking about Lupita Nyong'o.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's what we're
talking
about.
But this movie depicted
you're talking about.
The Queen of Katwe.
No. What's she in Star Wars?
Oh, she's.
Maz Kanata.
Maz Kanata. That's right. She's Maz Kanata. That's right.
But the way they depicted Africa in this movie is like. Pretty well spot on. Since Queen of Katwe.
Yeah, it was great. Anyway, you, Todd.
Yeah.
Okay, show everybody what you have if you're watching. What do you have in your hand?
My review.
Your review. How long is that review, Todd?
4 pages.
4 pages long, ladies and gentlemen. If you're listening, it's 4 pages worth of review.
Did you type that out?
This is the first.
Just post it on the page, man. We're not doing this tonight.
This is the first time he's posted it or typed anything out since Batman v Superman. So.
No effing way.
I'm not going to. It's not actually. I mean, the review is just the last
It's bullet
page.
Points. I'm taking it, right?
Can we just grade it individually and not read it?
So,
on the
Todd.
No, I mean, I could have, you know, provided the.
Todd, we have 30 minutes left. So, keep it sweet.
So, you're giving
Show
him the floor.
Here goes with 30 minutes.
Here goes with 30 minutes.
You know, Foreman hasn't seen it, but I'd rather hear his review.
what do you think, Todd?
I'm not going to. No, I'm just going to say that I liked it. I liked it better than other Marvel movies. I think that we all appreciate what it means a little bit more than what it actually was.
That's the other thing I was going to say is the story writing is not like mind-blowing or some like especially well crafted or anything, and nothing against the writer or anything, but there's it's right. just like we've heard the story before, and we like as we're watching it, we know the next thing that's going to happen or not happen. And
it's definitely that Marvel formula. Like, I think that.
But the thing is, it. And I was talking to Anthony Pignataro from Maui Weekly, the editor over there, and I was saying, you know, we as humans retell the same few stories thousands and thousands of times over and over again and accept them as different. And the only difference in them is the passion with which the actors or creators involve themselves with it. And that's what grabs us. And with Black Panther, you can tell that everybody wanted to be there and they were there with a mission, including, you know, the production staff and writers and directors. And while it wasn't necessarily, you know, an unpredictable movie or crazy unique storyline, it was told in a way that just it was exceptional and elevates it.
Well, the thing is that if we're honest at this table, and this is not to mock it, it very much starts off like The Lion King.
I've heard that comparison, and I guess you can choose that evil uncle bullcrap. Well, who's the evil uncle?
It's not, you know, well, it's not evil uncle Njoku? Because no, well,
the evil uncle that dies at the beginning.
Yeah, I don't think that's how The Lion King goes.
No, but what I'm saying is that it has that feel. I mean, look, Forrest.
So you're saying Scar's son came back to kill,
right? You know, Forrest Whitaker's Rafiki, the whole thing with Mustafa. Oh, it has that feel.
Really?
To it. It does. Absolutely.
I don't
does.
Think so.
But anyway,
well, when he goes and talks to his dad,
he does talk to his dad
on the ancestral plane.
On the ancestral plane.
Well, actually, the shot is actually very, when you, if you're going to go there, like the way they set the scene, I mean, the colors they used and the shot they mm-hmm. used and everything is very Disney-ish.
Yeah.
Very, like, I could see that as part of the Lion King movie. Remember. But I don't think the plot is very Lion King-ish.
Mufasa. Ooh.
T'Challa, remember.
Anyway, Todd, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that a lot of people are making this into an exceptional movie. But I think that that's going to die off. I think that internationally this isn't going to do gangbusters like.
Oh, I think so.
No, I mean, I think.
I think this is an exceptional movie. I think that's where I'm going to. I mean, I don't think that there was anything transcendent in the writing, but I think this movie was definitely exceptional in pretty much every sense.
Well, what is your take, Todd? What do you think? What are the things that stand out to you, and what are the negatives for you?
Well, the things that stand out to me about the movie that I think that is different than the rest of the Marvel Universe is that all of the characters are extremely well rendered,
right,
around Black Panther. The only problem that I had with the movie, if I was going to critique it, if it wasn't a Marvel movie, my problem is that there's not a lot of, like, you don't, T'Challa never really changes. He doesn't have an emotional connection with the other characters, and he lacks a strong motivation towards, he seems like he's getting pulled in a lot of different directions, and he never actually, like, he seems really static.
I thought that, and I, to be fair to your point, you're right. You're absolutely right. But I thought that was intentional because he is king, and he's supposed to be neutral, isn't he?
Well, I mean, and he could be, but I think that that's also really boring storytelling. Like,
what about his last visit to the ancestral plane? You didn't think that? I think that was the main conflict with him. I don't think that he had to have an emotional conflict, which there were multiple arcs they were going through, but over the whole story was the main point. The main thing that was supposed to carry him through was him. That's why him and Killmonger, they were parallel.
Right. Well, so
and that was the main transformative thing with T'Challa.
You didn't really get to see that throughout the movie. I mean, Killmonger changes, and the thing about the movie that I didn't like was also, you know, I mean, I just disliked it because of it stuck so much to the Marvel formula. But what I want to talk about is, you know, like how rendered the characters were, how wonderful the Dora Milaje, I think, were great to see. I think that that's something very unique to a Marvel film. You're not going to see that.
Dora Milaje was cool.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to get to see that for another, you know, until probably Captain Marvel, you know. I think that.
Infinity War.
Yeah, they're in that.
Yeah, the Dora Milaje, or at least.
Well, you're not going to get to see. You're not going to get to see a strong female character, and you're definitely not going to get to see like a strong African female characters. But I'm until you know, until The next X-Men movie, I don't know.
Have you not seen a Tyler Perry movie before?
Well, I mean, until you see Storm again, until you see...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she wasn't really that strong in the Age of Apocalypse. They just kind of used her.
Right, but I mean, I think, well, now they're under new management, so I think that's going to be different.
I hope so.
Yeah. So those are all the things that I liked about the movie. My gripes are about like the formula basically that it stuck to. This was, you know, like Iron Man with black actors. It had a villain who had the exact same superpowers as Black Panther.
Wow.
It had, you know, it had action. Every time you
Holy
felt.
Crap.
Every
That's
time.
That's actually quite on the money.
It is on
I mean,
the money.
And so, you know, and then on top of it, basically you sort of have a movie to.
Killmonger.
You have.
But you didn't want. But when you dealt with. Who was Jeff Bridges' character? What was his name?
Obadiah Stane.
Like, you know, when Killmonger goes to the ancestral plane and it's in that New York City apartment. Like, you want to cry. Like, that's, like, the saddest thing in the world.
I think that that's one of the other things that was the strongest.
Like, you don't have emotional connection to any of those Iron Man characters. You're like, he's a corporate whatever douche guy.
I
think it's way more generic in Iron Man than the telling in.
First of all, Jeff Bridges is not a corporate douche. He's the douche.
There's a lot. I mean, those parallels you all listed are they're present, but... I wouldn't put it in the same league.
I mean, if you think about Iron Man, Obadiah Stane hired the guys to kill Tony Stark. And then once they got Tony Stark, they were like, this is Tony Stark. We're going to have him build us weapons. And then they try to get Tony Stark to build him weapons, and Tony Stark builds the first Iron Man suit. And so Jeff Bridges plays a huge role in creating Iron Man. And I think that movie's a little bit... I think that Jeff Bridges did a wonderful job.
He did.
As Obadiah Stane, I think he was really menacing. And I think that once he got his own Ironmonger suit, he was terrifying. And I never really felt terrified once, you know, in all honesty, like there's a lot of people out there that were rooting for Killmonger to, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but then you also watch Killmonger just beat women
but
the entire movie.
Yeah, geez.
So, like, I mean...
But that's what happens when your women are warriors, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess so. But, I mean, that not...
Do
that,
you not fight them if they're, like, a
well,
female
but,
warrior
I mean,
comes
but
up?
Well, but, I mean, he didn't just... He killed two... He killed Zuri, the spiritual leader of Wakanda, and then he... The head priestess, he choked almost to death until they lit the herbs on fire. So, I mean, they were peaceful, spiritual people, and he...
Yeah.
You know, I'm
not defending the guy, but
why?
They have to make him despicable because, like, I kind of just keep comparing him to Cottonmouth because he's a super engaging character that you know is bad to his core, but you sympathize with.
Well, I understand that, but I also think that it was a mistake to make him American. I think that
that was a genius stroke. I think that tied. That's what the most genius part of this movie is it deals with the American diaspora. About what happened to black people, and that's like the main theme of the movie, and I can't believe they got away with it in a Disney movie.
Well, I mean, I would just think that it would have been better if he had been Wakandan like he was in the comic book.
And he had been cast out, or he was cast aside.
Well, he was cast
but
aside,
he was
and then he was... Well, if
it's
he,
just
if,
that it's just that his, I mean, he didn't grow up in Wakanda or anything.
He grew up in
but
Wakanda.
But he had
in the comic
a,
book.
He had yeah, like
his dad was
a son of
killed
Wakanda.
killed in the mines, and that's why he hated the king.
Yeah,
because the king, the T'Chaka worked.
I think
his
motivation in this case is much stronger. It makes for a much stronger movie.
Yeah, I mean it does.
I
maybe
think
because
the ending is like earth shattering because it opens up a whole other can of worms. For a different conversation that people haven't even started having yet.
Well, that's kind of my point is that, like, if you were going to do that, if you were going to talk about that African diaspora,
do you want to spell that for him, Alika?
D-I-A-S-P-O-R-A.
He went to college.
Diaspora. You said Black Panther mostly in America. If you were going to have the villain be
well now
American,
but now it you know we had the majority of this movie in Wakanda,
mm-hmm.
and the next movie is going to be in America, and some of Black Panther's most awesome and controversial stories happen in America.
Right.
And so I think they're on the right path. I think they set it up beautifully, like masterfully. There's no better way they could have done it.
I think that they made a lot of compromises just based on the previous work of the actor and the actors and the director. I think that they had something special and then they Marvelized it. And so I think that this is gonna last until Infinity War.
But to be fair,
it's gonna wear off.
To be fair to the subject matter is deep, and the only way for it to go down is to Marvelize it.
No, I mean I don't think so. I think that you should have probably made this. I kind of walked out of there thinking like this movie is not gonna make anybody angry, when a Black Panther movie should, you know, make people angry.
Well, let me correct you.
Interesting. I didn't
because I was sitting next to these two awful, and I'm going to be really racist right now.
Wow,
awful white people. Yeah. They were these two guys, a couple sitting next to me, and I sit in my chair and whatever because it's the row of three in the second row.
Yeah.
So there's the three chairs together. So I'm like, it's them two and me, and they are like talking through the whole movie. And at first, I'm just like, whatever, regular rudeness. Okay. And then they start, like, you know, grumbling about the, you know, the colonizer comments and whatever. And it's like, you know, get over it. And then the scene where she goes, oh, you brought me another broken white boy. The guy pipes up very loudly. The rest of the audience can also hear this. And I'm sitting next to them, like, I'm shifting away from them so they don't, I'm not with them. And he's like, that's racist. You can't say that. That's so racist. Like, I was like, holy crap, what is your guys' deal? Like, they were the worst people to watch this movie next to.
Well, he's not wrong.
It's not racist, though, if it's fact.
He's a broken white boy. Yeah. That's the three demographics he fits. Broken white boy.
And we got to see him at the end.
All right. So, listen, Todd, before I get into mine, anything else you want to...
I just want to say, overall, I enjoyed the movie. I think that my gripes and my concerns with the movie are basically, you know, because of the formula, not because of the subject matter. So... otherwise, and then also, my wife really liked it. I took my daughter to see it too. She really dug it, and I think it's important for
your kids after that.
Yeah, the whole thing too. You're just engrossed, and so I think that it's really a. I do think that it's a good flick. I think it's entertaining, but I don't think it's as important. As people are saying, because I think that it was compromised.
I agree with you, Todd, a little bit on that. I do agree with you in some respects for that.
I think that Ryan Coogler, like, he made such a great film with Creed, and that's a franchise flick, and that had just you know, emotionally devastating characters to
yes.
it, and like there was none of that really in this movie. You know,
fair enough.
It was replaced by bad CGI. And it's not the actor's fault. Not to do a disservice, their performances were fantastic, and I think that they did the best that they could with something being like, oh, we got to be the lead into Infinity War,
right?
You know, and this has to make $600 million in 2 weeks.
Well, it's on its way to make a lot of money.
It's on 400 right now.
Yeah, on its way to make a ton of money. All right, so. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a few minutes left. I'm going to try and get through this in the next. We'll stay a little longer after Facebook to talk more about Black Panther. But where do you want me to start? Do you guys want me to start with what I thought was good, or do you want me to start with my critiques first?
Start with your critique and then go back to what's good.
Okay. Yep. Here's a couple of critiques that I have about the film. Let's start with that. The Black Panther. Going into the Black Panther, there are a lot of political. Obviously, one of the things that I enjoyed a lot about it. Were the political statements that were being made in the movie.
A lot of warriors.
I like the fact that...
A lot of social justice.
I like the fact that Ryan... and this is... I shouldn't even say they're critiques. These are just opinions, but I like the fact that Ryan Coogler was brave enough to ask bold questions on both sides of an issue. I thought that that was brave enough of him without giving an answer. For me, that was really cool. I thought that the fact that
he answered what happens if a white guy gets vibranium.
That's true. Wait, before we start, though, before I get into this, can we officially say, isn't Black Panther, as far as publish-wise, is he officially the first black superhero.
I don't want to commit to that. I don't really know.
No,
I believe. Okay, because wasn't his the first appearance of Black Panther was in 1967.
1966.
Okay,
it
and
was,
I know Blade
Fantastic Four 52.
And I know Blade was 1973. Right?
Yeah, but, if you're measuring against Blade, there have been more before Black Panther.
Yeah, there was.
Correct.
I mean,
I'm pretty sure Black Lightning predates him.
Black Lightning is in the 70s.
What I'm saying is, though, but he wouldn't. I mean, Black Panther's. How can I put this? Officially, wouldn't you say?
For Marvel.
For Marvel, right.
Yeah, for Marvel.
Wouldn't this be officially the first black superhero?
I want to say there's other instances, though.
I mean, if for Marvel, as Marvel Comics, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Maybe before, as timely, there were other...
I mean, there's all these obscure characters that you don't realize from the pulp age.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about, like, you know...
It's hard
to
say first.
The Spirit's sidekick was the first... Non-racist.
That was
African American.
Wasn't that a racist depiction in the Spirit?
The it was cartoonish, sort of the way that
like
you would
caricature?
See it, but he didn't.
But his character
was
didn't
like,
do. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So here's a couple of critiques of the film itself, and then I'll get back to what's good. First of all, one of the things that I noticed is that, like I said, they deal with very, ironically enough, some very heavy political themes, which I'll get back to. They deal with. Isolationism. They deal with tribalism. They deal with borders and refugees, which is very cool. But I think that
you
I
love
like
refugees.
You
yeah, he finds borders and
cool.
refugees cool.
Yeah, I find them cool.
He's down with the refugees.
I did notice though, watching the film, you kind of when you look into it, as far as because they want you to talk about the political overtones in the film. You know how they start the film off with that intro about what has happened to them and why they shut themselves off. It seemed like to me, and like I wrote this down to make sure I get it right, it felt like to me that vibranium has made Wakandans captive in their own society. If they expose it to the world,
look captive to me.
No. If they expose it to the world, the Wakandans could be exposed, which would be dangerous. That's what it kind of felt like. And I also felt like the Wakandans. Aren't necessarily advanced because of their own ingenuity. They felt that, and this is not the fault of the characters themselves. They were advanced because of the magic space rock, which is vibranium. So I got a little bit of that. Okay, it didn't bug me. It also deals with, like I said, isolationism. It deals with the ethno state. Is that a good thing? So
I don't. Ethnostate?
Ethnostate. Correct.
So, because they're all one. Because
let's be honest. If we're going to be honest and we're going to talk about the political overtones of a film, it does deal with that.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't categorize it as an ethnostate because you got the different clans.
Because
they're all African doesn't mean they're the same ethnicity.
Fair enough. But I mean, what we're talking about is Wakanda being a quote unquote utopia. Correct?
Well, it's a technocracy. I don't know if it's a utopian.
Fair enough.
I don't think it's utopian.
But
if it was utopian, then I can't remember the guy's name. The guy from Get Out.
Oh, Daniel Kaluuya.
Then he wouldn't have ever rebelled against Black Panther.
Well, Daniel Kaluuya has some. He's the guy that does the great line like, "Hey, listen." If you know, he's talking to T'Challa, and he's like, "Hey, listen, we open our borders. The refugees come in; their problems come in with them." You know, that's a very honest assessment of what could happen.
I thought he said that to keep you watching.
But what I like is I find it fascinating that Ryan Coogler was honest enough about that to deal with it in the film, right or wrong.
He'd be like, "I got some white friends too."
Right,
I know what you guys be saying to each other.
Right or wrong, I thought that was very interesting. Ultimately, if you want to break it down as far as the politics and the overtones of it, what I got was this was essentially this is
essentially Trump's America.
No, here's what I really loved about it. I
and
love
Trump
the
is
fact,
the Black Panther.
I love the fact that the villain was a social justice warrior. I thought that was great, and the fact that he's defeated makes it all the better.
I wouldn't categorize anything that he did as social justice.
No, well, what he was trying. No, not what he did. What he was trying to do.
I don't think so. That. I think that what he was trying
to grand finale.
What he was trying to do was violently overthrow the government.
Right.
Social justice warrior, if I ever heard one.
Overthrow the government of Wakanda.
Did you know that the Nazis were social justice warriors?
He wasn't violently overthrowing the government of Wakanda. He was king of Wakanda. He was trying to violently overthrow.
He's already ruling them with an iron
fair,
hand.
He won fair and square. He won fair and square.
He's a total SJW.
He threw him after that water. That's a bad place to have a fight. The way that Hitler was invaded Germany first, maybe.
Here's what I'm saying is that if you break it down, for me, that's what it felt like. Secondly, if we were to look
at it,
secondly, this if you were to break it down even further, this was very much the argument that's made when in the 60s we had Malcolm X, the philosophy of Malcolm X versus the philosophy of MLK. And T'Challa obviously is MLK, and Killmonger is very much Malcolm X. So
then why did they call T'Challa Black Panther?
Isn't the Black Panther supposed to be a militant organization?
Yeah, well, technically. That's another thing that I had an issue with. That was one of the other things that I had an issue with. I don't think it should have just been Panther. I wish they had explained more.
Why they got to be so racist?
Why
is he the Black Panther? Can't he just be Panther?
No, he can't. That's true. He could have just been Panther.
Right.
Exactly. Makes perfect sense.
Only a total racist douchebag would say something like that.
But what I really
really
wish they had spent more time on the flower itself. You know, when you say, okay, it was hit by vibranium and that's why. I felt like I really wanted to know more as a comic book fan. I wanted them to give more of an explanation to that. I thought that would have been cool.
That wasn't enough?
No, because it felt like...
You just said it, and I already got what it's about.
It's like, ooh, vibranium. Why doesn't the vibranium, when they ingest it, why doesn't it hurt them? Why doesn't them ingesting this plant hurt them? Because it is an alien substance. So I did want to know a little bit more about that. I know it's a Marvel thing.
Plant.
I get that.
It's all natural.
Yeah, well...
Don't you know about the weed stuff?
The plant is natural.
The heart-shaped herb.
The plant, you're right. The plant is natural. That is true. But not the vibranium itself. So I would like to have known more about that, for sure. Now, those are just critiques and things that I picked up in the film. I will say that I agree with you on the fact that this is not the end-all be-all as far as like this being an important quote-unquote movie. I'm with you on that, Todd.
I think that if you're like interested in superhero movies, wait till Shadow Man comes out from Valiant Comics. That's being developed by Reginald Hedlin. And he's also written Black Panther before. He's responsible for the Black Panther animation.
Reginald Hedlin was very much influential in Milestone Comics as well.
Yeah, and he also directed a bunch of movies in the 90s and
some terrible movies with Eddie Murphy.
But he also directed Marshall.
Yes.
So
Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman plays Thurgood Marshall.
That was recent. Yeah.
He did that last year. He's going to be doing Shadow Man, and so also an important superhero to look out for. Also an independent
Shadow Man looks like the lead singer of INXS though. How is that an empowering?
Okay,
if you want you know a movie about racism and American diaspora. you can't.
I think you should watch
Wrong Answer, which is coming out. It's written by Ta-Nehisi Coates and it's going to be directed by Ryan Coogler and it's going to be starring Michael B. Jordan. So it's basically.
I think my only.
How many movies of Ryan Coogler has Michael B. Jordan been?
All three of them.
Was he in Fruitvale?
He was in Fruitvale.
He was the main character in Fruitvale Station.
Yeah, he's the guy that gets shot.
Oscar Grant.
Yeah. That's what got him popular.
Yeah,
really.
That story is absolutely. I can't even
bonkers.
Talk about it without swearing.
Have you ever watched the movie?
Have you ever watched the cell phone footage?
Yeah.
Watch the movie.
I know.
Ryan Coogler very much expounds upon that, and he does a very good job of it.
And I think, Nadia and I talked about watching it The movie, and she was like, "I don't even think I could sit through it."
Seriously,
you should. It's
I mean, I know it's good.
Just thinking about what happened to Oscar Grant is like holy.
Well, and so that's one of my. I mean, that's the other point that I kind of brought up in my review is that. And I'm sorry, I don't
want to
interrupt.
No, go.
Okay, if I just want to, I'm just going to interject one last thing.
Yeah, I got about 5 minutes left. Go ahead.
Okay, Ta-Nehisi Coates is doing the current run on Black Panther. His first book was about a friend of his being shot and killed, and him dealing with the, the grief. Fruitvale Station, same sort of thing. A young black man gets shot by the police, and that's how that was. You know, Ryan Coogler's first big break, and then the thing that set Chadwick Boseman on the path to studying. Screenwriting and directing, and then finally finding acting was a play that he did after his friend in high school was shot and killed. So I think that if you have artists with that are impassioned about the actual sort of problems that are affecting the African diaspora here in America, and I think that diaspora. Diaspora.
Say it a couple more times.
Neosporin.
Neosporin. Yeah. I think that those are much more important pieces of art if you're interested in that.
Than
Black Panther.
Yeah, I think the only other issue that I have with Black Panther was it felt like the whole issue of colonialism was directed at America. It felt like to me, but to be fair. That came from Great Britain, number one, and also came from Africa, like places like Mali and Ghana that were enslaving their own people way before any of...
God.
You know,
Shut up, G.
I'm just saying. Why can't I say it?
I don't know.
It's history.
You know what? Romans kept each other as slaves, too.
Right.
Shut your white ass up.
See, you're afraid to say that, but I'm just saying, though.
I just said it.
It felt a little bit like that.
It didn't feel like anything.
The Choctaws had slaves.
Yeah, exactly. So here's my...
Hawaiians had slaves.
Yes, they did. Ultimately, here's the point for the Black Panther. I think that the Black Panther, in my opinion, because of the expertise of Ryan Coogler's direction, and because he wrote it, he also co-wrote it, I think he did a phenomenal job with this movie. I think that this is probably the best Marvel movie to come out since Iron Man. I think Black Panther is not important, but I think it is a fantastic Marvel film. It is above
for me.
How
do you not think this movie is important?
I think this movie is completely above average. And you know what's great about this movie too for me? I think that the stuff with Black Panther is secondary to what happens in Wakanda.
Yeah.
I love the clans. I love the relationship that they have, the questions that they ask each other, how they can live together. I love the fact that the would-be queen is saying, we need to help people outside of Wakanda. She's pushing T'Challa. I think that that's fantastic. I think she does a great job. I think that's Lupita Nyong'o. I think Michael B. Jordan is fantastic in this movie. I will say this. I do think that he's one of the better villains in the Marvel Universe, no doubt about it. But I also think that his storyline is a little weak. It is a little one-dimensional.
I mean, just to go into more detail on that thought, what villains have we had?
Exactly.
There haven't been good Marvel villains.
And here's the funny thing. Everything that
sets it apart from other Marvel movies. We got Michael three. Yeah, Michael okay. Keaton was pretty good, but
yeah,
and I,
well,
you know,
sure.
He had good motivations, but
that was a Sony movie. So,
but like I said, here's the thing, and this is why.
Well, we got three decent villains out of this movie. Claw was a good villain.
But this is what's interesting about the film is that the stuff when he's in the
white
suit,
man's always
and when
the villain.
Killmonger.
Hey, they killed his ass.
Hey, when Killmonger is in the suit, there was excitement there. But what I loved was watching the clans interact. I loved the scene where they're going up to see M'Baku. I thought that that was great. I thought that the whole thing of M'Baku fishing out T'Challa was a little cheap. But there was no other way to do it.
I think that was cool. Because
I think that actually comes from the Rage of the Panther.
No.
It's comic book.
But that also speaks to the loyalty of the five clans of Wakanda that they have to the code.
I,
of the challenge and everything, he's the accepted king.
I think you're,
so M'Baku,
I think,
is going to fish him out.
I think you're missing the point. What I'm saying is it's not the fact that M'Baku found him. I think it's just the easy convention of, oh, he was tossed in a river.
Yeah,
oh,
we all knew once he was going in the river, he was getting fished out.
Right,
come on.
Right. So, yes, I thought that that was – but I thought that what was most intense was the fights for the throne. The stuff that when they lose their powers, that stuff was intense. That was very good. I thought that that was fantastic. I thought the relationship with Okoye and Daniel Kaluuya's character was great. I thought Shuri stole the film. Letitia Wright did a fantastic job.
She was great.
She was very good in the film. And in my opinion, I think that Black Panther is a very, very good movie. And we will give our ratings. We should give our ratings right now. We have like 2 minutes left before we have to get out of here on the podcast section, the audio side. So what do you give it, Todd?
3 stars.
3 stars. Aaron?
4.
4 stars.
Nick, Alika? Format.
Yeah, format. What do you give it?
4. Why not?
4 Panthers. 4. All right, what about you?
5.
5-star movie. Oh, man. Nothing comes easy with Alika, apparently.
when your daddy leaks,
that's
it's
right.
Just...
When your daddy leaks,
it's just raining stars.
That's right. I give it 4 stars, no doubt about it. Anyway, we're going to be continuing here on Facebook Live for a little while longer. Podcast, we are out of time. We will see you guys back here next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. Join us on Facebook Live. Like our Facebook page. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/TheNerdWatch if you would like to donate to the show. Also, check us out on Audio Boom and iTunes and Stitcher as well. And join us here where you can get extra stuff on our Facebook Live feed. So until next week, peace out. Oh, sorry. For Todd, for Aaron, for Format, and for Daddy Leaks, I am G Money. Stay tuned, Facebook. We got more coming up with you guys. Until next time, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay Panther. And we are out of time.
Stop saying it like that. Is that Robert Downey Jr. from Tropic Thunder? That's not cool, man.
Until next week. Come along with me. What's the
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever. We're out of time. See you later, podcast, next week.